Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show, and my name is Alisa. Right now, it's just me, because Liz is not called in. So hopefully you all don't mind me babbling for the next few minutes until Liz calls in. But we are having a pretty good day. It's kind of weird to remember the day of the week sometimes. It's been weird. We had a holiday yesterday, technically a holiday, Columbus Day. So this has definitely thrown me off. I wasn't sure about the show today. And anyway, I don't know what else to talk about here. I'm used to having somebody else talk to. But this this week has been, I want to say, it's the beginning of something new because of the new moon that is about to happen. I think it's happened either yesterday or today. I should probably look that up. But I did burn a candle last night for the start of the new moon. And our friend who listens on the show also does a show sometimes, Lolita, at her ice cream parlor in Marietta, Georgia. She hosts a weekly or a monthly meditation along with Reverend Adam. So there's, but it's for the full moon is what she usually does it for. And then I have another person that I listen to online, Michelle Grace Lesserard, who's also done shows on our station here. She does a lot of new moon information. So this has just been an interesting time. I mean, I think every day it seems like there's an interesting time to do stuff. But when it comes to feeling a little more grounded, I think getting back in touch with the cycles of the moon helps a lot. It helps me take a moment, especially when I have friends or people that I look up to hold space for those moments, for those times. And that I found has been very helpful. So when I have an opportunity locally to do a meditation, I love going to Lolita's. They always have a very thoughtful program for their community, and as does people online with Michelle Grace Lesserard and her new moon meditations and podcasts. So I don't know what other people do to help you stay grounded. I wish I could tell you I meditate every day, but I don't. At least I don't do it consciously. I know Liz is a big proponent of using her phone apps a lot to just do her meditations. I know that's a big deal for her. She's also incredibly busy. So if you know anyone who lives in New York City, that's the mentality they have, and it's fast and it's busy, and that's how she's wired. But for me, there has been a definitely, I mean, I live in the South. I was born and raised in the South. So, you know, we tend to take our moments pretty casually for the most part. I mean, there's a difference to being in a city like where I live and where Liz lives versus growing up on the coast or in a island environment. It doesn't matter if it's a big city. the fact that you are close to the ocean, it allows you to take a moment to just be, if you're smart about it. I always feel drawn to the ocean, and perhaps it's a good thing that I don't live right next to the ocean, although I think I want to change that in the years to come, because I do lose all track of time when I'm at the beach. And there's a freedom to it. And I don't know how much I'd get done in terms of productivity for the day to day. But I think having that influence and knowing when it's time to just rest is incredibly important. So when we have these cycles of the moon with new moons and full moons, I think it's roughly every 2 weeks. So it's kind of nice to be able to take a moment. And if I don't get to do something like a meditation every day, a conscious meditation, I'm not just talking about taking a nap. Sometimes that's what happens when I meditate, is I basically doze off. I'm like, well, I can just do that, any old time. But part of when I get to do a meditation, or when we recommend it to other people, it really is to take a break from the day-to-day busyness and to do it consciously and to say, yeah, this is what I need to do right now, because I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm just checking in, and it's a way to reset. So this is, I feel like a good moment to do that. I also have a lot of friends who are big believers in candle work. So lighting a candle to signify a change is a bit of a ritual. So even in ritual, you have these moments where you're very aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it. There's an intention behind it, and that gives a lot of energy to any situation. So right now I do have a lot of friends who are big candle workers. They light candles for different things. And as I said this, I just thought of my mom, who also in her own way would do candle work. She would light candles. She still does this. She lights candles for birthdays, to remember people who have passed. She does a lot of that. So I just remember seeing that growing up, and it didn't really register to me. It was just, my mom is religious in her own way. She has certain things that keep her grounded. So I really appreciate that she does things like that. Anyway, just a little intro. I don't know where Liz is. So right now I'm just flying solo, but I see that there is a hand raised. So I'm going to answer this call. Erica 307, good morning. You're on the air with Just Elisa today. How are you? Oh, hello, caller. Okay, and she maybe didn't need to raise your hand, so that's fine. If you're still on and you, if you didn't mean to hit number one to raise your hand, you can hit it again, and that'll unselect you from being in the queue. Otherwise, you can just listen, no big deal. I'm going to send a quick message to Liz and see where she is. Otherwise, I want to just continue talking about these changes in ritual, or changes in general, and how ritual and meditation can help. We kind of use our topics pretty freely here, in defense of the conversation, but since I'm the only one talking, it's not really a conversation, is it? But it is, in a sense, a conversation just to regroup. I feel like for most of us in the States, we had a holiday yesterday. Some people did have to work, but for Columbus Day, sort of a controversial holiday for most people. I think a lot of our national holidays tend to be a little controversial here in the States, especially in light of our politics recently, and the attitude of who's in charge and who doesn't feel like they're getting a fair shake, which seems to be a lot of people. So for Columbus Day, I noticed on my Facebook feed a lot of people mentioning how Columbus was really not the best person to maybe honor with a holiday. It's interesting, the things that we memorialize and that we honor, how that changes in time and perspective. It's akin to Civil War monuments being put in question, like, well, why do we have these monuments for something that was, that represents something, a very terrible part of our history. And not that you want to do away with a history, because it definitely happened, but is it something that we want to continue as, these were great men who killed a lot of people, is what it boiled down to. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially when you have people who are tied to their own set of, to their heritage. And I think anytime we look at our history, there's controversy. There's always the side of the story that you're like, well, we needed to do this. We needed the resources, or we didn't have a place to go, so we had to go somewhere else. And I'm kind of tying this into maybe our own personal histories. I grew up in a family that came from the Philippines to America, and I was born here in the States. But I was born in an environment that remembered, what it was like back in the day. And not that my family was persecuted in the Philippines, but it was a time where politically, there's a lot going on. It was the 60s. There's a lot going on. And I think everyone was just looking for a better opportunity. And if you could better yourself, then of course you wanted to take advantage of that. So that's what my father did. And of course, arriving in the late 60s to America and witnessing all the history that's happening at that point. We're at war. We're in Vietnam. There's a civil rights movement. There's just a lot to try to take in. And here is this family at that point, just my mother, father, and two older brothers, really young, making a stand and trying to figure out what to do and how to establish themselves. So there's a whole history that I was taught growing up, and mostly it came from my mom, who loves to tell stories and seems to have a very deep memory for a lot of transgressions in the past. She was deeply affected by very, very many people, their characters. And so that's the sort of history that I got in terms of sense of space and who I was and identity. And there was a lot of fear that I picked up from my mother and a lot of anger. And when you meet my mom, she's incredibly sweet. But there's a sense of maybe something missed out or lost because of what she'd gone through. Now, granted, let me back up and say, my parents are in their, late 70s, early 80s. So they have lived through different wars that I have never had to deal with. A Japanese occupation of their country when they were very, 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 very young. So they've seen quite a bit, and that's the sort of stuff, that's the perspective that I tend to forget. And I know for a lot of people of my generation, it's just, we just don't understand the sort of strife that others have lived through. And when you meet people who are in their 90s, I mean, that's a lot of time, but to span 90 years of life and to think how far have we come in 90 years? What did we not have to deal with, currently? What are some things that I've never really had to deal with? I didn't have to deal with because I wasn't around, but as a female, as a woman of color, there would probably be a lot of places I couldn't travel freely in my own country, back in the day. So when I think of what my parents bring into this, and we look at our own histories, our own personal histories, and we think about what we were taught growing up, looking at how you live your life now, are you living your life in some of those cases out of fear? Because, well, that's just what I was taught. I was taught to fear, I was taught to just double guess to second guess if what I'm stepping into is safe. It's something that, given the climate and things that have been escalating and has been coming up, not really just in the last few months, but I would say over the past, two or three years, there's a cycle of just some really heavy, ugly stuff coming up. And it, if it didn't happen particularly to you, you probably knew someone who was going through some type of trauma like that. And it's not just something like, in hushed circles it was talked about. This is the big platform, and I would say, because I know that most of the people who are listening, who tend to listen to us, are women. There's a voice that needed to be heard, and it's coming out. And no, it's, when you hear of stories that have been in the dark for a long time, they're never easy to listen to, and they're they're full of strife and you know, violence and anger and confusion. So you just have to, it's like, it comes with the territory. If it were not in the dark, it would just be this absolutely beautiful story, and you know, there'd be this huge light beaming down, but that is not what we tend to deal with. And as we all know, when we deal with any kind of controversy or contrast, it pulls the best out of us as well. So as patient as we can be, and it's not, I'm not even talking about tolerance. I mean, I think tolerance has a place as well, but I think having a larger sense of compassion is what will help ground all of us, because I think we can kind of identify a lot with what people are going through. And for a lot of us who are empathic, who are highly empathic, it's incredibly difficult and painful to kind of be in that space for long periods of time. So when we talk about rituals and meditation, those are ways of grounding us from, you know, the turmoil that tends to be around us that kind of seeps into our consciousness. Now, I'm not one that listens to a lot of news on TV or on radio, but you almost can't get away from some of the headlines if you are at all tuned into the internet. And granted, now it means that I get a lot of my news through through feeds on Facebook, mostly Facebook, because I don't really do Twitter that often. Always, it's a person's opinion. And even if I know, I always have to fact check. I understand some of the things that are coming out. But I always need to back up and like, oh, let's see what was really going on. It's like really trying to find your own answers to what's going on and piecing it together. But when I read some of these things, I realize that there's a lot of fear involved in spreading that kind of news. I mean, it's too easy nowadays, given our environment, given all the technical and technological advances that we have. That in itself is a type of power. Information also is a type of power. So how you use it, money is a type of power. So all these things that we are given, we have access to, that we've created in ways to make our life easier, it also adds an extra layer of responsibility to be very aware of what you're spreading and how you're saying things. You know, what is the meaning? Because I remember, like I just told you earlier, I would hear these stories from my mother growing up, and honestly, we would sit around the table, you know, on a good day, on a really good day, when I was connecting with my mother growing up, we would, you know, make breakfast and sit at the table, and she would just tell me stories of you know, her life, and then we'd look up and oh, it's time to eat lunch, and we hadn't cleared the table yet from breakfast, but you know, we did that, and then she would get into making lunch and she'd still be telling me stories, and then we'd sit down and have another meal. And so we would have these conversations basically in two rooms, in the kitchen and the dining room, and I was learning a lot, but it wasn't just the words she was saying. And I know the story she was trying to tell. I mean, at least I thought I did back, you know, when I was a lot younger. I just, you know, when you're a kid, you take in all kinds of information. But I was definitely picking up on a lot of fear and a lot of anger of situations that didn't go right, of people who had done her wrong. And I knew she was carrying it, and I knew it was hers. So the temptation is then to just take on that and be like angry at everybody on your mother's behalf. And for whatever reason, I didn't take in a lot of that. I think I did pick up on it anyway, and I know I have some of it in me. To kind of spot that, but so you as a child, you grow up and you have these types of influences. Now, my childhood, from what I can, you know, gather and compare to others, was actually really, really good, because I know others have not had great childhoods, and there's a lot that comes with that. And as we grow older, we can hopefully have help in putting those things in a proper perspective, so we can be fully functioning, you know, adults, you know, compassionate and loving as much as we can, right? And everyone's doing what they need to be able to do. And the more awareness we have on our own situation, on our own histories, and I include, you know, the history of people who taught us part of our histories, and that's in your immediate family is a big thing, and then by extension the stuff you learn at school, and then the people around you in school. So we have all these different aspects of what are we trying to learn, and what do we take with us? And I wanted to say, because of the ongoing controversy with, you know, what women are talking about and the different stories that are coming out, it's heartbreaking. Unfortunately, I do know that there's a lot more that we haven't heard, but what we're hearing now is it's plenty. You know, there's plenty to work on there. We live in a system where you're supposedly, you know, innocent until proven guilty, and it seems like a very noble thing to say and a rule to follow, a noble rule to follow, but it's never that clear cut. And if I were to go back in time, you know, how many times has it been where that was never the case, you know? And it maybe didn't apply because it wasn't in the American, you know, system officially, but any time back in history, if you were a type of homeopathic, if you were a witch, basically, or a lot of times you were a healer, a spiritual leader, you had a particular gift to work with nature and with people. That was at some point revered, and then as time went on, I think because of the sort of power it wielded over a community or a village, then it got the kind of the little eyeball turned on them, and it ended up being something to be questioned. And this is how we work out our differences, though. this is how we work things out. You hope you work things out. It takes a long time to work things out. And even using that phrase, I couldn't tell you definitively what that means. But this is all stuff that we are having to work out this idea of male and female. And what's interesting is that we have both traits within us, within each person. Regardless of gender, you have both masculine and feminine traits. And I think we are so used to categorizing things and really wanting things to be all one way, so it's very clear, because clarity is so important, right? And we have, so we look at what is supposed to be clear, but then there's always like stuff around the edges that they're like, oh, but I don't know what to make sense of that. I don't know how to categorize that. And it's unfortunate that we are having to go through this whole process of trying to categorize everything when it's not about taking apart everything and putting it into pieces, but sometimes it's really being able to maybe step back a little bit more and see, well, how is it all connected? Instead of, well, that's that piece that I don't know about, I'm going to toss it out. How does it all connect? You know, how does, in the history, say, of my own family, how does this balance of male and female work, and how can it be appreciated as a whole? I visited with some of my family. This is on my dad's side. Recently, we celebrated my aunt's birthday in Tybee Island off the coast of Georgia. So again, here is this water element. We were all just sitting around talking, and there was a comment made by my cousin to one of his neighbors who brought by a truckload of blue crab that we had, and he said, well, you know, the women in this family run everything. which of course all the women, whether we were born in the family or not, we're like, yep, that's right, that's right. And I thought it was really, really funny, because I feel like that's true in most families if you think about it. But it isn't just about like, well, the women are superior. It's that we really do take care of a lot of things, and it needs to be appreciated. I'm not going to say it needs to be feared, but maybe that's what has to happen. There is an appreciation that needs to happen. But there also there's an appreciation. Like, I appreciate when the men in my life take care of stuff that I definitely have no business getting into. And I don't really want to get in, you know, I don't really want to handle it. I appreciate it when somebody else steps in. And then I don't feel any less of a woman if it's being handled, and that's great. But there should be an appreciation for both your masculine and your feminine side. And I think the more we are able to explore that and embrace that, however, whatever, you know, we're all talking about percentages. Well, I feel like I'm more masculine than feminine. And that may be the case. And that's maybe a little easier to deal with than for men who feel more feminine than masculine. But no one should be saying, well, I have it really easy, or you have it harder. It's not necessarily always the case. You just never know. You don't know what people have gone through. But when we look into our histories and we see how are things connected versus why are you so different? You know what? We tend to, like I said, put things in categories and try to make sense of it that way. And it isn't, we aren't about a lot of different parts. It's not about a part that you need to change. We're not machines. We're human. When we start changing our mentality, then we start treating people a little differently. If I treat you like you're a part of myself, maybe you pause a little bit more. Maybe you deliberate a little bit more before making a hasty decision. It's something that we have to train ourselves to do. And I realize the vulnerability that comes with that, because in our current status, it's, you know, you get her done and you do it quickly and you be very decisive. And you take no prisoners, and you just, there's so much force and excess of force when it's really not needed. And we need to maybe rein some of that in and embrace a little bit more of our feminine side that can say, well, yeah, but we don't need to destroy the whole planet, right, to make the planet a better place. We look for different ways to figure things out. And I think that's why we're seeing such extremes. We're seeing such extremes around us, because it needs to sink in at some point. It isn't about what he's doing or what she is claiming to have happened to her. I mean, those are all symbols. I mean, there's things that really happen, but there are ways for us to learn from that, and ways for us to take it in so that we can make better choices in understanding ourselves and our place within our family and our community, and then as in a greater part, the world. So I don't know. It's a very sweeping kind of a comment there, but let me check on this number. It's area code 917.
It's me.
It's Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I'm sorry. But you can have a show on NPR. That girl. Can we discuss, girl? I'm like, have we met, girl?
Well, I was pulling from you know, things that I've been reading recently, and not necessarily having a conversation with, but a lot of stuff we've been reading, and I was just, you know, my people are with me. They're like, yeah, blend it with, you know, what you've seen before. So when I see and read all these things happening, it reminds me of stories that my mom would tell me, just, you know, her talking and realizing she had a lot of anger and a lot of fear conveying her stories or her fears onto me. And I know we talked about this a while back on the show about, you know, how if you're a girl, you're taught to be very aware of your environment, and because things are out to get you, and those things are usually men. Just to be clear, that was what was told to me. You know,
AKA,
you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful of your environment. And I had to manage that, you know, that kind of fear. I'm not saying that's why I'm a lesbian, but I'm just saying that
makes one pause. Right.
Yeah, well, you know.
Listen, I ain't mad.
But it happens. I mean, it's told to everybody. It's told to you know, all women. It seems like, well, you just have to be careful, and you have to manage how you look and what you say, and now the tables are sort of being turned, because now there's this huge outcry of well, you know, all right, man, you have to check yourself too. You can't be creepy.
Yes.
Just. You know, you can't say, well, you sure do look pretty, you know. and
look
it's
pretty.
Interesting because you sure do look pretty, because it's like, you know, getting hit on. And so I know there are a lot of women on there who are like, I love getting hit on. I love being made to feel like I'm really pretty.
There's just so many layers. I just first of all want to apologize for my tardiness. I was up at 4 a.m. because my kids love to leave everything on, especially my younger son, and it interrupts my sleep. I either feel that the light's on or the anime still playing on the computer or whatever. And my alarm went off and I thought I pressed snooze, and I never do that. I am not a snooze girl. And then I don't know what I did, and then I looked at the phone and it said 8:54, and I just like couldn't believe it. But it means I need my rest. But then I call and I'm listening to you, and I'm like, oh my goodness, she's so yes. What is this show? I need to start. Can I subscribe? What is this show? It's so wow. Cool. And speaking of that, so this Thursday, I realized I'm going to be in Kentucky, and I'm going to be sharing a hotel room with somebody who doesn't even know I do this show, and
right,
I got stuff going
right
on. So I can't do the show on Thursday.
Okay.
And maybe I'll see you Friday. Who knows? Maybe you'll surprise me. We'll see. Well, all that. But how fabulously eloquent was that? And not to be panicked, because of course you are more than capable, but what a kind of unplanned accident / experiment, because I was really like that what you little discourse could have been on so many different platforms. But see, there's mixed messages, everything backfires. Because when that nomination thing came through, and I, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I knew, well, I don't know, maybe there's a couple of psychics on this show, but I kind of knew that no matter how much resistance was going to come out, I kind of knew it was just going to be put through. And it's almost like, yeah, it's like that slave mentality. I'm still the master. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. And did you notice, did you see like all there was lots of photographs and footage of like all the outcry and the protests, but there were actually women dressed up like women in The Handmaid's Tale?
No.
That were protesting?
I haven't seen any of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, but then there's so many different sides to it, like what you were saying. Because you want to embrace that you're fierce and you're beautiful and you're this and you're that, but there's so many different mixed messages. It's you're being vilified for being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It really hits home. It really hits home with that archetype of you are you're deified and you're vilified in the same breath. It's a confusing way to live. And sidebar, it's a confusing way to be in a marriage. That would be so many women.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo myself. But it's so common.
Yeah.
Like,
And that's why, for us, and I would say for women in particular, but I'd say men too. I think there's a lot of stuff that men, you know, men have probably been through something similar, men
absolutely.
And boys. And I know some of them are starting to share, but it's just as traumatic for them.
Absolutely.
So when I'm talking about, you know, these are big, you know, universal issues, it is about reconciling those parts of ourselves. I mean,
right.
First of all, identifying,
you
know,
yes.
Be able to identify that, you know, and not to say, not to use a word that tends to come up, so I'm broken. And it's just, it's almost because it's like, well, but you don't really know, like something just doesn't quite work right now. Doesn't mean it's broken. It just may just mean there's an adjustment that needs to be made. Who knows?
Right.
But you know, again, in our use of our language, sometimes it's just easier to make it be like, it's this and we need to get it done. It's this and it's broken. It you and you're worthless.
Right.
And, you know, these types of things are just almost like, and we are having to be a little more impeccable with our words. We're having to be a little more mindful, because what I'm seeing now is, we talk about a backlash. So when even that word backlash means it's coming back at you. So how do we not perpetuate that? Because if you hit somebody, the backlash is they hit back. So if no one wants to be in a fight, but some people like to fight, and I get that. But at some point when you are battered and bruised and you literally cannot lift your fist again, you can't even make a fist, you can't even see what you're going to hit. At some point in this process, you may want to take a moment. And in that moment, a lot of stuff can come up. A lot of stuff can come up where you're like, why are we doing this? Why am I fighting? You know, you may have answered why your body still hurts and why your heart still hurts. When does it end? You know, some big questions that come up. You know, when does it end? How does it end? Unless you're willing to have those kinds of questions come up and have some type of dialogue, conversation, or even a monologue about it, some self-reflection, you're probably going to continue along the same path. It's probably going to continue. And I'm not saying, we're going to change it all overnight. I mean, I think we could. I think we could. I think it'll be a little awkward. I think it'll be a lot awkward. But all we have is time in this form. And so to experience all the things that we're experiencing, and I think, you know, we tend to do a pretty good job of experiencing all the different possible contrasts. And as a result, saying, "Ooh, you know, I didn't like that. Like, I didn't like being taken advantage of." But why would you force it on somebody else? I mean, that has always been the bigger question for me. I shouldn't say I was like, as a little kid, ooh, we shouldn't do that. But there's, at some point you realize I cannot continue moving it the way I have. I cannot continue being in this environment the way that I have. And the only thing I can change is me. And even that, when you decide to change, means a lot of people will push back on you for changing. But the thing is, it's your space. It's still you, and you're still responsible for you. So everyone else, like you do every day, you have to adjust. And there will be some things that you would not prefer to be around, and that it would be your choice to then not be around it. But these are all big picture things that collectively, you know, we can make some changes. And I think there are different movements that will speak out to different people. But for those of us who maybe are not, you know, activists at heart, and we're not ready to do a fight in any way, but especially in that way, some of us just don't want to fight. Some of us have enough fight from within ourselves that we got to figure that out first before we start fighting, you know, the bigger picture stuff for everybody else. But when we deal with our own stuff in that way, you find support from people who are in similar situations, And even those, I mean, I know people who've gone to like group therapy and they can maybe handle it for a little bit and they're like, wow, it's really heavy. You're like, yeah, because that's a lot of heavy energy you're working through. So it can provide support for you and until you realize, I think I need support from a different source and in a different way, because I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the right sequence of words here, but basically, like, you can't solve the problem at the same level that it is. So when you get into this let's talk about the situation, like, you really can only hang out there for so long before you need to do something that gets you to the next level. It'll be that next level of relief. So sometimes talking about it, sharing it with somebody is a relief you need at that moment. But it will not sustain you to just talk about that. There has to be the next level up to do this. So are you back in, Liz? And I know you're calling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The call dropped. And then another call came in, and I ignored it because I'm doing the radio show. And then I forgot it was the food delivery because I have to feed my children while I'm out of. It's the first time I'm leaving the two of them on their own.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm just a mess. And I'm leaving. And I have to teach tonight for 3 hours. I'm like, I'm just a mess today.
Yeah. You got a lot. You have a busy week. So you know, Liz has she's attending a film festival out of state. And
world premiere.
And, your film is being shown. And it's a big honor. It's a big deal. It's great exposure. And
it's crazy.
And, yeah.
Yeah,
you being out of your space, free of your kids, but still working. You know,
yeah, and I what you were talking about, it just what I've been hearing has really striking such an emotional chord with me, because the last time I had contact with their dad, it really blew up in my face. And of course, you know, because he's hurt, he's going to swipe at me, and I will not be swiped at anymore. I'm so
right.
I will not be swiped at. So he doesn't even know. I don't care. I'm not hiding anything. But let me rephrase that. I have not shared. I will not be criticized, and I will not be swiped at anymore. So I have means of making sure that my household is okay, because you are not my family anymore. So everything that you're saying, you just get to a point, woman, not a woman, it doesn't matter who the hell, what the hell you are, what you identify, it doesn't even matter. You get to a point that you are not a victim and you're not blaming and you're in forgiveness, but you're going to hold steadfast that your truth means something. And you're not going to give up.
Right.
So however you have to walk that walk and live that life and be who you are, and if that means you have to fight to be your authentic self and to live your truth, so be it. And that's the thing, that there's a very fine line between all of that and then, well, if I just sit here, and I'm not to diminish that, but if I just exclusively sit here and let things play out and see what happens, then you're not, then that's when it's like that commune mentality. Then wait a minute, what happens to the human experience?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, God will take care of it. Of course, but you got to work with God, because God's, you know, not going to, you know, get involved in this mess. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. But what you're saying is really striking a chord.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just something that, that's certainly, you know, my observation of it, as someone who hasn't been in a lot of situations in this form where I felt, you know, too out of control.
Right.
But I'm also surrounded by people, and, you know, friends, mostly just the friends. I don't know about my family, but most of my friends who have had quite a lot on their plate to deal with. And so when things do happen, and I'm thinking just like within my own family, like with it, with my relationship with my brothers, I would say with each of my immediate family members, there have been moments where I'm like, what the hell just happened? And, you know, only a handful of times have I felt like, whoa, this is way out of control and I'm scared. But when it does happen, it's so stunning and not in a good way, that, you know, my brain is trying to make sense of the whole situation. So I totally see where people don't come forward right away. You know, it's not like, ooh, he hit me, or ooh, he said something to me and
no.
I'm going to say something about it. It's never that type of situation.
No.
It's one where it's so out of left field that you're like, did that just really happen? Did you just say that to me? Or did you just, you know, make that threatening gesture? Or did you, what just, who are you? You really can't make it all connect because it is so not in what you're used to seeing and experiencing and hearing. So I totally get that need to take as much time as you need to kind of make sense of it for yourself. And then when you finally do, it's almost like you don't believe it yourself. I mean, that's a thing where, you know, you have experienced it because you've seen it and, but it's almost like you weren't in it and you don't feel it because it's the only way for you to cope. And it doesn't make any sense. And so that's why you do need help in terms of like, well, you know, how much of your coping mechanism is keeping you from literally falling apart and then emotionally just being completely wrecked. I mean, these are some delicate sensitivities. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female. I mean, pain is pain. So, but a lot of us don't really, there's so much that's coming through right now where a lot of things that we see, like on TV, all the stuff that we watch, we kind of get used to seeing it played out in a certain way. You know, played out in our miniseries or our telenovelas, played out on the movies. But when it happens to us, that's the reality of it. It's not, well, I need to make it fit into what I saw on my favorite show where they all worked it out. Over a three-episode arc, we figured it all out. Like, that is not how your life is going to play out. Unless you really are trying to make it that way, then it'll just kind of hover in this unknown, unsatisfying, sci-fi fantasy type thing for a while. So it's crucially important to just say, to be able to sit with that, to sit with what it is you're feeling. Because a lot of times, because we're so well programmed by the things around us that we almost have to ask other people, is that really what I'm feeling? And no one can really answer that for you. They can answer it for themselves if they've gone through it. So for those with, you know, working on that compassionate heart, you don't have to go through what someone has gone through to feel for them. But, you know, and maybe feeling for them isn't the way to help them, but I think for them to recognize that you're not going to not believe them, that you're not going to make fun of them, and that you're
right.
going to give them their space to
right.
work through what it was that they just went through, because they don't even know. When things are
right.
that traumatic, you don't know. I mean, I've been in, I don't know how many car accidents since I was a little kid, and there's like this moment, it could be a few nanoseconds of time, where I'm like, I don't even know how that was physically possible. Like, I couldn't even tell you. Like, it seemed to happen in slow motion, and then huge chunks of that sequence are still not even in my consciousness. That's how strange it can all be. So, yeah, you absolutely, you know, need to be able to get through and get the help that you need to, you know, to understand the rage, to understand the pain, to understand the deep, you know, sadness. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot that gets tied in within any of these situations. And I mean, from a car accident to, you know, an assault, There's stuff that has to be, there's stuff that, that, you know, you have to be able to take care of yourself. And if you don't, but if you don't even know what has happened, then you do need, you know, some compassionate helper or group that can work with you on that so that you don't have to be haunted by it. You can gain strength from it. You know, maybe it means that you help others who do that, you know, who have gone through it. Maybe it means a different type of calling. And it means going deeper into your own story, into your own history. And a lot of times in making peace with that, you break a cycle, not just for you, but for everyone who is involved with it. And a lot of times it has to do with your family.
Right.
In the healing of ancestral lines, and for some of us.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's deep, it's heavy, it can be very dark. But that is why you are the light, right? That's why people who listen, who are into this kind of stuff, I mean, there is that responsibility, right, with being a light worker. And when you shed light on something, they're usually in these dark, deep recesses, these corners, these nooks and crannies that you would not really want to do. But if it's a calling,
right?
And if you're really pulled towards that, then you do it, and you figure out a way to continue to do it, and to keep yourself safe, to do it to the best of your ability. And it is a gift. I mean, you and I both know Reverend Adam and Lolita, and you know, they are definitely in that field of, you know, there's some you know, heavy stuff happening out there. And on the spiritual level,
that's their ministry.
They have
certain, amazing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They have certain tools and techniques and wisdom that they can use to apply to those situations. If that is what you're needing, and it goes a lot deeper, then, you know, it's good for us to know people who can do that. You know, I've been witness to some of it, and I'm like, wow, I don't know if that's my calling. I know I needed to witness some of it, but I don't think that's my calling. But who knows? It could change. There's just a lot to do. But for each person, that feeling of, well, no one knows what I've gone through. And there's also a feeling of, well, I don't want to put that on anybody either. But, you know, when you carry that load by yourself, that's heavy. And what you'll be surprised to find is that, and maybe a little sad to find, is that maybe other people have gone through it too. So collectively, how do we help each other heal, and how do we break that cycle so that the next go round, you know, someone has learned from it, you know, to show more love rather than to spread more fear. And I think these are the choices that we have to make. If we're in that mode of just categorizing and trying to make sense of it that way, if you're going to be that bold with your strokes, then why not say what could be the most loving thing I could do in this situation? And it has to be loving for yourself, because if you try to do it for somebody else, that could totally backfire. But if this is the most loving thing I can do, then make that choice versus maybe what you've been trained to do, which is for a lot of us is just to fight back or to, you know, to not, and not like, well, I'm not going to defend myself, but in the ways of fighting back, you know, even in using those terms, what's the most loving way to do that? Sometimes
right.
You start that way, you know. Where can this destruction take a break, you know, for a little bit? Could it be that we find a little bit of relief, you know? Anyway,
but
that's
what is so, I love it. What's so, first of all, go girl, like, hello, number one, preach, sister, number one. Number two, so I muted myself because the delivery showed up, right? And it's this 20-something young girl with Rihanna red hair, right? And it was the most efficient food delivery I've ever gotten. The way she did it, I said, oh, they need to hire more women. And it's so funny. It's so funny how you're talking. And she just, the efficiency, she probably did it in a third or a quarter of the time that the guys would do it, where she consolidated all, like a bunch of bags and then handed them to me in like one swoop where the guys would just do one bag at a time. I was very impressed. But I thought, how perfect that when I'm listening to you, how perfect that this really smart, strong young woman, I said, you know how to get things done all day. They need to hire more women. Amazing. And I wanted it. Yeah. Like, you rest your case. Unbelievable. Wow. I'm very impressed. Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Well, what an odd, I have no idea what time is it. I have no, like, I'm in.
We got about 3 minutes left. So, yeah,
oh,
I mean.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All the years doing the show, and I guess we're close to saying happy anniversary. I think that's coming up. I think.
Next couple of weeks, yeah.
Next couple of weeks, what is it, eight? It's going to be 8 years, right?
I want to say
yeah,
the 18th.
Eight.
I think I want to say it's the 18th.
I think you're right, actually. I think you're right. And I think it's eight. So we're really like an old married couple. How long are we married? Oh,
I don't know.
But no, but honey, no 7 year itch. Thank you. So, yes, going into year eight. So of course we're going to go through that all. I mean, we've had a very good track record. I've never not to a show unless you've known about that. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So
no,
clearly
you needed a rest. I mean, And I wasn't freaking out. I'm like, you know what? I know you have a busy week. So I'm like, well, I'll see if I can sustain the show. If I need to end it early, I'll end it early. It's not a big deal, but I'm going to keep talking. And it took me a moment.
Beautiful, I'm sure. Right. Yeah, because you're like, where's she? Was it like you plan? Oh, let me get my notes because I prepared to do the show by myself. Let me see. Okay, what are my index cards, girl? Sometimes that's the best way to do something. But isn't that interesting? Because you couldn't really think, right? You couldn't really think about it. You just had to do it.
Yeah.
So,
and
you did beautifully.
Say, thank you. I do know that the things that I've been reading, I talked about it earlier. I don't really watch the news. I'll look at it, on a little snippet and sound bites from usually from Facebook. So even then, I'm like, I know I need to fact check and do that kind of thing. But it's mostly, it's not even the story. It's the energy behind it.
Thank you. Right. Exactly. And we feel the energy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, what we need what we need to understand as responsible citizens, what we need to understand just from a practical standpoint, and then the rest is story. So it's just how much of that baseline, and I think we do have a certain degree of responsibility, but we don't have to get caught up in the snare of that. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the caveat. That's the thing to be very, very aware of. So I think we should wrap up the show. How crazy. And I love listening to you. Girl, you could do your own show. Don't get no ideas. Okay, just say You could. So, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows hosts and programming available. This show, I don't know what's going to happen. It's scheduled to be on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. I will be in Louisville, Kentucky, losing my mind, having all this sink in. But allegedly, the show will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Standard Time. And in the meantime, to brighter days ahead. Oops. And let the light do the work.
Let the light do the work. I hear you, girl.
Yes, but the girl, no coffee, no bathroom. No, I do not have it. Okay, I'm going to do that, all that now. Okay. Let the light do the work. Okay, love you. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Love you. Bye.